This is Mary Lockwood.
And I'm Gary Eyster.
For the Pictures in My Head Radio Theater.
Anonymous X.
The fake biography of an imaginary composer, a man who only ever existed here on the Pictures in My Head Radio Theater.
This is the story of Anonymous X, a composer who set out to write music that would change the world. He played his music on fantastic electronic music-making machines, and the world did change. People everywhere, all at once, everyone heard his music. The sky turned red, the water became translucent, and for weeks in the air, all over the globe, was the faint, sweet smell of cherry candy. And, by the way, there is no more music by Anonymous X. It's gone, all of it, lost, never to be heard again. It's become something of a journalistic cliché to note that people will remember the moment when the sky changed from blue to red. They remember what they were doing and where they were.
I was standing on a street corner.
I was sitting in a chair on my mother's patio.
I wasn't alive yet.
An ice rink.
Marblehead Junior High School.
What was your reaction to it?
Utterly incredible.
Oh, God. I'll never forget that.
My friend's father made us watch it, and we were mad because we really didn't care.
Did you hear the music?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yes.
What was it like for you?
That was pretty.
It would come across as a drone.
It was really amazing. It was mysterious. It was unlike anything I'd ever heard before.
For me, it contained a power that I haven't found in many other pieces of music.
And the aroma, do you remember it?
Cherry candy.
Cherry candy.
Cherry candy.
Did this experience change your life?
Yes.
No, I don't know.
We were curious as to why the sky is blue in the first place, so we called up TV Network News science editor Bernard D. Hello, Bernie. Tell us, why is the sky blue?
Well, it has to do with waves. Light, as it comes from the sun, is made up of many different colors. The atmosphere of the Earth absorbs much of that light. When many of the other colors are absorbed as they enter the atmosphere, the blue part of the spectrum, the shorter wavelengths, penetrate much faster, much easier.
There was a time when the sky was red.
Yes.
Can that be explained?
Science has much better things to deal with. There could be a number of explanations, but no one's looked into it. It's not worth the trouble.
Thank you, Bernie. We'll catch you on the TV.
Gotcha.
I'm walking up a hill in the small town of Calumet, in Michigan's UP, the Upper Peninsula. Once a busy little town in the heyday of UP copper mining, now it's just weather-worn houses, narrow roads, and forests, a mixture of aspen, birch, spruce, and pine, from here to the chilly waters of Lake Superior. I came to Calumet because this is where Anonymous X was a boy. I spoke to longtime resident Myra Cocking, who remembers him and his family. You knew his parents?
Yeah.
What were they like?
She was very highly educated. His mother was a teacher. She was Irish. Her ancestors came from Ireland, and he was German. Only it was during the war, and he wouldn't admit he was German. He was Swiss or something. He was awful strict, and you had to walk on the edge of a sword to please him. He never went anywhere, took them any place, and they used to say how he always took his bath and everything on Saturday and dressed all up to sit down and listen to the Chicago station.
You'd get dressed up to listen to the radio?
Yeah.
What kind of house did they live in?
Oh, there's an upstairs and downstairs. There were about four bedrooms upstairs. There were no bathrooms. There was the outhouse. What did they call it? The honey wagon? We'd come and dump the outhouse. They had a big garden and chickens. And they had a horse. Oh, yeah, a horse and sled.
Anonymous X had some siblings.
Two brothers. And one brother was 9 years old, and he had infantile paralysis. That's polio, but that, and then it left him with a tumor on the brain, so they operated on him. and he died.
Did he have a happy childhood?
He was a baby, but he really had a heart. I felt sorry for him because his father was, he was strict, and the only thing, his mother was so nice. She calmed it down so that they wouldn't be fighting.
Did he do well in school?
He wasn't a bit lazy. He was a worker.
Was his musical talent apparent when he was young?
He used to play in the orchestra.
What instrument did he play?
A cornet. Clarinet. The kind with the reeds. And he played the violin. He's very musical. You'd like him.
I'd like him. No doubt I would. In 1959, Anonymous X was just starting high school, and he left his family in Michigan to live with a spinster aunt in the town of Tolosa on California's central coast, far away from the brutalities of the northern winter and an increasingly hostile father. Not far from the seashore, this Mediterranean paradise of hot days and cool, crystal-clear nights was a balm and refuge for X's soul. Nancy Cunningham remembers him.
I was his high school calculus teacher. The counselor asked him what math class he wanted to take. He said, well, I've already taken Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 and Geometry and Trigonometry and Solid Geometry, so I think I'm ready for calculus, and this is a freshman. Every year that he took the math test, he improved, rising to scoring 17th in the United States. He was an amazing kid. I think what I liked most about him was how unassuming he was and how inner-directed he was. And he always had a twinkle in his eye.
As was the case with so much in his life, Anonymous X got just what he needed from his California aunt, but no more than that. She saw him through high school, but then, just weeks before his graduation, she died. X took it hard. In a letter to his mother, he wrote, "I'm sorry that you can't be here to see me graduate. Please think of me at 6 p.m. on Sunday next. It'll be 3 o'clock here, and I'll be at the ceremony. Thinking of you will keep me from being truly alone. Thinking of you will keep me alive." Anonymous X enrolled at the University of California. He intended to study electrical engineering, but once there he changed his mind and took up music, apparently without much success. He's remembered by former classmate and music critic Lawrence Dell.
I went to school with him. As a matter of fact, I really hardly remember him because he was a very uninspired student. He was a pretty ordinary kind of a person. The only thing I remember is that he sat in the middle row, sort of over to the right-hand side. I was amazed when he captured all this attention about this piece and made the sky turn red. The sky turning red was pretty boring, and the music that supposedly made the sky turn red was even more boring than the sky turning red. It really wasn't all that big a deal.
Dark days followed for Anonymous X. Out of college and without a career, he disappeared into the world of friendless, menial labor. The little that is known about this period of his life comes from Peter Martin, X's one-time assistant.
He never said much about his days right after college. He worked at some jobs, you know, to stay alive. I think maybe some highway construction. He didn't like to talk about it.
The work was too menial for him?
No, it wasn't that he was stuck up about it. I think he was just too lonely in those days. By the time I showed up, he'd really found his life's calling, and I don't blame him for not wanting to revisit that kind of lost time. You know, there's more than one way to misspend your youth. I think he misspent a lot of his just kind of floundering.
Oh, how did you meet Anonymous X?
I met him in a bar. He was drinking a Coke, and we got to talking. We were both on this kind of renegade hippie trip, and you know, interested in technology and vision and, you know, that whole hippie thing. It was vague. Anyway, I didn't really understand Anonymous X then, and honestly, I still don't. I helped X build his electronic music-making machines, but frankly, I didn't always know what I was doing. He would hand me a schematic, and I'd build these circuits with parts he got from somewhere. I didn't even know what they did.
And how long did you do that?
For 4 years.
That's a long time.
I At first I, stopped there and worked with him because I thought it was supposed to be this grand adventure. You know, he kind of talked me into that. That's why I went there in the first place. But when I got there, I really couldn't see it. I really didn't know where we were going. It was like we were on a ship at night, and I was locked inside my cabin, and he was standing on deck, shouting to me about what the scenery probably looked like, and telling me that at the end of the journey, the sun might come up.
That sounds hard.
Well, at first he wasn't like that. You know, he'd talk some about ordinary things, too, but then after a while, I don't know, a few months, it was like after work he didn't want to talk to me anymore at all, about anything. And it was just the two of us in this two-room shack out in the sticks, 27 miles of dirt road to the nearest gas station, and there I was, every evening and every night. No one to talk to, nothing to do. After a while, that just kind of wears you out.
How did he finance all of this?
I don't know.
Did he pay you?
He fed me.
And when you left?
I doubt that he even knew I was gone.
Eventually, you heard his music play.
Who didn't?
Did you have any idea at the time that it was he and that you'd helped to make this music?
No. I'm just like everybody else. I heard it, but I thought it was coming from somewhere nearby. I had no reason to think that it was coming from hundreds of miles away. Oh, I saw the sky change colors, but why would I think that that had anything to do with the music I was hearing? And I certainly had no idea that this music was being heard all over the world.
Did you like it?
The music? Yeah, I did. It was okay. You know, it's funny. When I was with X, he would talk for hours and hours about music, but the whole time I was at his place, I didn't hear a single note. There was no radio, no TV, not even a piano or a guitar.
What did you do for entertainment?
Nothing. We just worked and ate and slept. In the evening, sometimes I'd sit out and listen to the bugs and the frogs.
Would you do it all over again?
No. You know, a lot of people will tell you that they have no regrets in their lives, and I always find that very hard to believe because, man, hindsight is 20/20. I mean, who doesn't have some stupid little details they'd change if they could? And I bet a lot of people would change more than just stupid little details. Anyway, I certainly have a few regrets, and the biggest one, if I could do any one thing all over, it would be to listen to that music again and watch the sky again. And just know that all that work I did, that I thought was for nothing, that's what I was seeing, and that's what I was hearing.
Martin carried X's story to the outside world, but not surprisingly, few were interested. The tale of these odd goings-on did, however, catch the attention of Anthony Gregg, now a leading advocate and composer of electronic music, then a graduate student. You met him early in your career.
Well, I was 22 or 23 when I met him.
And he showed you this fantastic electronic instrument of his. What was in it?
Lots of wire. Some capacitors, printed circuits, lots of transistors. Most of those on the integrated circuits. Backup batteries on the circuit boards. Lots of LEDs and LCDs, faders and different kinds of switches, floppy disk drive. Digital interfaces, audio connectors, the keyboard, big speaker systems. You know, his were the most unique and idiosyncratic instruments ever made. No one's ever been able to duplicate those.
We have no recordings of the music.
We have no recordings of his music.
Nor any scores or even sketches.
No.
But you yourself heard it.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
What was it like?
I was very excited about it. I would have to admit that it almost evoked sort of spiritual sort of things.
Is Anonymous X an important composer?
There's no doubt in my mind.
Can someone who is as much of an experimentalist as he was be compared to a composer like Beethoven?
There were the people who were pushing the envelope back in Beethoven's time, too.
You saw the sky change. What was it like?
It was a deep, bright red down by the horizon, and it faded to more of orangish and yellows and that kind of thing, but really quite accurately described as red. And it changed. It constantly changed. It seemed that from one moment to the next, something that was red before was now magenta, and something that was orange was now peach. I mean, those may be subtle changes, but they're big enough that the eye could tell. I ran for the camera. It was this crazy moment to see if I could somehow capture it. I now think that may have been actually a little bit silly because it's constantly transitioning. I do have pictures of it.
What would you have written on his tombstone?
One man can change the world.
One man can change the world. people remember that the music played, perhaps for an hour, perhaps for a little less, and the sky turned from blue to red. But then the music stopped, and the sky turned back to blue. Just moments after this, a fire ranger, stationed on a mountaintop lookout, overlooking the vast wilderness wherein Anonymous X's remote cabin and workshop lay hidden, a fire ranger spotted a fire, an enormous column of black smoke. Some 30,000 acres burned, and X was never heard from again. Nor has any trace been found of him or his cabin. And his only monument is this. Every year, a consortium of small New England colleges holds a contest. The challenge is to replicate X's music. The contestants have yet to get the sky to change. And the only thing that's been agreed on by all the participants and judges is this. So far, no one has come close to making music that sounded like his, nor evoked the faint, sweet smell of cherry candy.
That was Anonymous X featuring Gary Eyster.
With special thanks to Lori Foster, Mark Bryan, Sarah Weil, Myra Eyster, David Cunningham, Nancy Lockwood, Bernie Duerman, Greg Barada, and Larry Dellinger.
This is Mary Lockwood.
And I'm Gary Eyster.
For the Pictures in My Head Radio Theater.
Thanks for listening.
We'd love to hear from you. You can email the Pictures in My Head Radio Theater at geister@fix.net. That's geister@fix.net. For the Pictures in My Head Radio Theater, I'm Mary Lockwood.